This is The Toolbox. I'm your favourite folk devil, Rolly Joe Carney, and I'm joined, as always, by Hamish Smith. What have we got on the show this week, Hamish?
So we're going to kick things off with our invisible backpack check-ins, and then we're going to be talking about the walk that we just completed from Penshaw Monument all the way to Durham Cathedral.
Should we get into it?
Let's get into it.
Saddle up your horses, cowboy. For the only men's issue show in all of radio. The Toolbox. Yeehaw!
This is The Toolbox. I'm your favourite folk devil, Rolly Joe Carney, and I'm joined, as always, by Hamish Smith.
How's it going, Rolly?
You know what? It's been a really good week.
You know what? Nice one. That's what I like to hear. It's been a good week overall, just in terms of, you know, workload, weather.
That little bit of vitamin D does the world of good.
Oh, 100%. It's been a very, I'd just say positive. You know what? We'll go down to the street level. It's been a very posy vibes week.
Yeah, I'll concur with that statement. I think I just about understood it.
Positive vibes, Rolly. Positive vibes. And speaking of positive vibes, should we get into our invisible backpack check-in?
Yeah, we should. So for anyone who's not listened to the show before, we start it the same every week. So we do an invisible backpack check-in.
Mm-hmm.
The invisible backpack is the shorthand me and Hamish use to check in with each other. It's non-analytical, and it just means we kind of know where the other one's at. So the invisible backpack's filled with everything in your life. So it could be work, relationships, family, you know, mental health.
Just general stress.
Yeah, physical health, you know, body image, self-esteem.
Everything.
Everything, like money, you know. And if it's, you know, and if you've got a lot of stuff going on, your backpack can be really heavy. But if it's going well, your backpack can be really light. And we're here also to celebrate that, as well as...
Mm-hmm.
You know, lend support to each other for when it is heavy.
Yeah, no, exactly. We just, essentially, long story short, me and Rolly like talking about ourselves. Well, hey.
Yeah.
But we encourage you to talk about yourself too. So, of course, if you want to let us know how your invisible backpack is, you can head over to our Instagram, TheToolboxSR. Anyway, shall we get into this invisible backpack check-in?
I think you mean a Toolbox Radio.
Oh, I totally forgot. Yeah, we changed it. We changed it months ago. Yes, the Toolbox Radio. Apologies. It's because I'm too used to saying SR. We used to be SR, but we're planning on being wider than just Sunderland. Anyway, Rolly, how's that invisible backpack?
You know what? It's getting lighter with each passing day.
I like to hear that.
It started out really light, so we teased a little bit about the walk we were going to do, and we're going to talk about that more.
Very soon.
And what was good for the backpack was I assumed that after that endeavour I would be written off for days.
Yeah.
And actually I woke up the next day and I was fine.
Yeah.
I was like, oh, I can like walk about and it doesn't kill. So
you felt good.
Yeah. And then it's been nice, you know, spend time with my girlfriend and all that kind of stuff.
Just enjoying the weather this week.
Yeah, little bits of work. Like I'm a sunny day person. I love it when it rains as well. Like, I'm that lunatic. I'll be like, yes, it's raining, let's get the dog out. But, yeah.
Nice, you know what? So you've just been taking in the weather, taking in the positives that come with that, making the most of it.
I like being active in the sun, but I also appreciate that it's a nice time to slow down, take stock, relax, you know?
Yeah, no, that is very true. The sun, you know, it can... Well, as we've said, it brings, you know, positive vibes to the table, but it's also draining. Makes you tired. Makes you, when you get back in after a long day sitting in the sun, you're just exhausted.
You sleep really well there.
True. Sometimes.
And the other thing I will say, though, the one downside to the sun is the amount of midges and stuff.
Oh, my God. I don't know. Did you experience it the other day? There was one day this week. It wasn't yesterday, and it would have been the day before. So.
Yeah, Thursday.
Yeah. So, Thursday... I don't know what it was, but there was just hundreds of those green bugs.
Me and my partner took a dog to the park.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not kidding. They either followed us around or the path was just all midges.
I'm telling you, it was all those, like, little, they were like little green bug things, and like it got to the point where I was wearing like a yellow jumper, and I had so many just like green flecks on it, I went home and put on a green jumper.
Yeah.
Just to avoid, you know, having those stains of pinging those bugs off me. But then the next day, like, I come outside and it's clear. Like, there's none, not a green bug in sight, not a midgie in sight.
It was the perfect conditions, because it was the green midges, wasn't it?
I think so, yeah. I don't know what they are, but
I also don't know where they come from. Like, where do they hide all year?
That's what I'm saying. Like, where are they now?
Maybe we've come on to something.
That's what I'm saying. It's either that, or I think we've got like some sort of ancient curse. Like, we've got,
I mean, Britain, isn't it?
Yeah, true. We've got the green midges. We'll have a flood next. We'll have like a volcano eruption.
Yeah, King Arthur got Excalibur from the Lady of the Lake. And then when she handed over, you are king of the Britons, and also there will be a load of midges in the summer.
That's fair. That is fair.
How's your week been, man?
It's, you know what, yeah. I feel like what we're basing this show off is, you know, kind of what's most of my week's been about.
Yeah.
I suppose along the train of view, same train as you, you know, I woke up the next day and my legs weren't as sore, but I decided to make a day out of it, and I was just out all day again. So when I got back in, my like knees were completely gone. I then, the day after, I was like, right, I'll have a rest day. By 4 o'clock, I was so bored, I was like, I'll go for a run. Went for a run, bumped into yourself, yeah, coming back from the bus. And it was just a bad, like, it was like, I was running, the way I was running was totally off. I had started limping, I walked towards the end, so I was like, right, I need to have a rest day. And I was gonna, again, run today, but I haven't. So when I say my backpack's, you know, light, I'd say it's light, but there's just been so many kind of personal goals I feel like I haven't met this week, and it's just,
I think
it's a bleh, we'll start again next week.
Yeah. You have to cut yourself some slack as well.
So I think that where the issue is coming from is that when I look at my Strava, it doesn't count my miles for what we did on the walk as a part of my running.
Yeah.
Which makes sense, but at the end of the day, I just have to just get out and run more. So I might go for a run today just to get my miles up, but at the same time, I think I need to rest.
Yeah, it's important to look after yourself.
Very
true. You know, especially if you've had 2 days heavy on, you know, activity, because I know on the Tuesday you went down to the beach, didn't you?
Yeah, and I was pretty much down there all day.
And even that, like, even just sitting out on the beach and walking along by Seam.
Mm-hmm.
Well, no, sorry, Seaburn.
Seaburn, yeah, that's the one, yeah.
Too many seas.
Not enough burns.
Yeah, as we will talk about after we've wrapped up this. But the... like, I think sometimes you do just need to give yourself that rest. I think why I did so well on Tuesday was because my only walk out was to the shop and down to here to do Tuesday home time. Yeah. And it was, like, light, and it was okay. I've, like, not almost blown the cobwebs away.
It was probably the best, like, the most amount of walking you could have probably have done. You know, that was just the perfect amount.
I wasn't going anywhere I didn't need to go.
Exactly.
Like,
so... Nope, I was all over in places that I didn't need to be, so...
Did you see anything funny down the beach? Did you see, like, a seagull stealing an ice cream or anything?
Nah, nothing interesting.
This is, I mean, and this is what we'll talk about a little bit of this coming up. But, so, all in all, your backpack?
Overall, I'd say it's light. You know, I'm not, nothing that I'd say has been bogging me down. It's been a good week, I've been enjoying the weather, and I'm excited to see, yeah, what next week's holds.
That's good.
But I think that's all for Invisible Backpack. I know we've been desperate to talk about this walk, so shall we go to a little tune and then come back and talk about this walk that we did?
Yeah, so this is Fascination by Alphabeat on Spark.
You're listening to The Toolbox here on Spark. If you're just joining us, We have just done our invisible backpack check-in, and we're going to be having a little chat about a walk that myself and your favourite folk devil, Rolly Joe Carney, just completed. So, Rolly, where do we start? I suppose we technically have to throw it all the way back to last year.
Yeah, last June or July, I think it was, wasn't it?
It was June.
Yeah, so I came across this old pilgrimage walk, which it used to be called Beads Way, then it was called the Northern Saints Trail, and then it's colloquially known as the Way of Learning.
Aye.
And it's just following some of the routes St. Bede would have walked between Jarrow and Durham Cathedral.
Yeah, so it was quite a walk. I think overall the whole thing's about 60-something miles, to which that we obviously had to split into two.
Yeah.
But we completed the first part of it back in June, and on Monday, last Monday, we managed to finish what we started, I suppose.
Yeah, so there's five different sections to the walk.
Mm-hmm.
And by and large, we ignore them.
Yeah.
So you're meant to do one section at a time. It's broken up for like a nice one day casual walk, between 10 and 13K each leg.
Mm-hmm.
But the first time we decided to dispense with that when we did two sections.
Yeah.
And then we said, we'll never do more than two sections, like more than one section at a time again. But then we forgot that because we're daft. and did like two and three quarters because all the rivers blocked off down near the Weymouth Bridge.
Yes.
You can't really stick to the route.
Yeah, while they're building the footbridge anyway, they've totally shut. I mean, if you've been living in Sunderland the last, 3 years, you'll know that it's not been open for a while. So we had to kind of buy... No fault of our own, because we would have done it if it was possible, but we couldn't.
Yeah.
So we had to kind of cut out a big part. So we repicked our adventure up from Penshaw Monument.
Yeah, it has to be said as well that the third in our walking party...
Oh, yes.
...was Jake Chappell from Monday Lunchtime.
How could we forget Jake? Jake absolutely loved this adventure. You should have seen the look on his face at 9 a.m.
He was so grumpy.
I just remember, like, opening the front door to Toolbox Towers and just seeing this, like, grumpy guy just sat there at our front door. He'd been awake for about five... Like, not... No, he'd slept for about 5 hours, like...
Yeah, he got him from work, had some tea, and then went straight to sleep. And then we rang him, didn't we? Like, just before 8 o'clock. We were like, yeah, it's adventure day. And he was like, I'm going to kill you. And then to try and cheer him up on the way to the Penshaw Monument. Hey, wish you tell it better.
Well, like, as I've mentioned, Jake was fizzing. And bless him, to be fair. Bless yourself, Rolly. You only had good intentions at heart. So we're maybe like around the corner from the bus stop. Now, if you're a student here at the uni, you'll know the 701 and the 700 are the best buses to exist. So we were on the 701. We got that from St. Peter's round to the uni so we can get another bus over to Penshaw. And we were just kind of turning the corner to go up to the city campus. And like, obviously... We're in press the button territory. And this whole bus journey, we'd been trying to like make Jake laugh, trying to make him, you know, smile, trying to get him in the mood. And we'd totally failed. And just in the most contradicting, condescending voice ever, Rolly turns to Jake, looks him dead in the eyes and goes, do you want to press the button?
Yeah, it was as soon as I was like, oh no, he's like...
I fold. I'm like dying with laughter. And Jake is just looking like he could like punch straight through your head.
Like, you know what? I wouldn't blame them. Would you like to press the button? But it was like, because he was acting like a grumpy kid, I was just thought like
your maternal instincts kicked in.
If he's involved in the planning of when we get off the bus, you know.
Yeah.
It would have been funny if he wouldn't have pressed it.
Oh my god, yeah. Well, I don't think he did. I think you pressed it.
Yeah, because he was
raging.
And then we got off the bus to wait for another bus.
Yeah,
as so often happens. And I noticed this ages ago, but I think it's really funny that some of like the bus routes here are named.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I don't understand why the number two has to be called To the Berries.
Yeah. It's random. It's the whole of the Northeast, isn't it? It's not just Sunderland.
I've not been around enough to notice. Well,
I know the 27's called the Crusader.
That's fantastic.
And the Silver Crusader.
The one's a concert's called the Concert Ranger. I'm like, that sounds like the local nickname to like your local Lord of the Rings fan.
Like, it's quite strange. Maybe that's something we can look into. See what roots kick about. But anyway, we finally get to Penshaw Monument, and we're like, we'll start the route right at the top of the. So we had to like walk up
to the monument.
Yeah, so we walked up to the monument, and we were like, right, we'll start it here. This is where I was like, I'll start my Strava. This is where like we had an agreement. We'll start it. And when we told Jake that, he just again looked even more raging. He was like, what, you're going to make me walk all the way up and then all the way back down? And we're like, yes.
That is how hills work.
That is how it works.
Well, it was like, we got there and you and Jake had never been there before.
Yeah, it was my first time and, well, yeah. Jake's first time as well.
But we looked out and it was like the tiniest little bit of breeze, not much cloud at all, blue, blue sky, the sun shining.
Yeah.
And it was just absolutely great omens for a good walk.
Oh, yeah.
So we take some pictures at the top and then we work our way down and almost immediately we're almost struck by disaster. And I think if I hadn't have been wearing walking boots, I would have snapped my ankle.
Yeah.
Because like I'd tie my walking boots quite tight because, you know, support the ankle,
hold them in place,
all that. And I think if there'd been any give in the boot.
Yeah.
It would have just gone.
Oh, yeah, like if you were wearing trainers or something, you wouldn't have had the support that you've had, and a snap like that, you would have.
I think Jake would have been like, serves you right.
Yeah, I honestly think he would have. Well, I think as much as we were all relieved we got the walk done, I think certainly at the start there was some second doubts, and I think that, you know, he definitely would have struggled with the whole... walking. If he hadn't had his, I can't remember what I was saying. I can't remember if I was talking about Jake or your boots. Oh, Jake, if you had rolled your ankle, I think he would have been quite relieved.
Yeah.
But obviously,
in hindsight, I think we all would have.
Now that it's done,
you know what? Though?
I'm very thankful you didn't roll your ankle.
So that first leg, like the first sort of bit, was from Penshaw Monument to Horton the Spring.
And
first of all, like in terms of going to bits of Sunderland I've never been to before, out towards Penshaw. I've been to Penshaw Monument, I've been up there with a friend of ours, and then Harrington Country Park.
Yeah.
Was
through the lakes.
Was really impressive.
Yeah. No, it was nice. I mean, like walking through that whole kind of open bit was really lovely. That whole kind of stretch all the way up to Horton Lee Spring was just surreal.
Yeah.
Very open, very nice. It was warm. We just had the sun beating down on us. We were going through a big open. I think, you know, obviously, as we said, we did really well not to get burnt by the sun.
Yeah.
The SPF 50.
Yeah, we learned from the first walk, like the first half of the walk.
Yeah.
We learned exactly what not to do.
Yes.
And that was anything less than factor 30 and also forgetting to bring it in the first place.
True. But we did very well for ourselves and we could have easily had gotten burned in that first stretch, but we didn't. So to Horton Lee Spring, it was really good. And then
leaving Horton Lee Spring.
Yes, after we decided to nip in for a cheeky pint.
Yeah. What we did was we cut through what is thought to be the oldest garden in England.
Yes.
And it's also got one of the last remaining tithe barns, which if you're like a bit of a history nerd like I am, you're like, oh, he was just that important, and you and Jake just didn't care.
Well, you went, oh, this is where you would have paid your taxes. Oh, great, yeah. Rolly, class.
Yeah, and then we remarked that it was looked after by Sunderland City Council. And we were like, they took enough of our taxes.
Let's just walk away.
Yeah, but From there, then, we headed out towards Chester Lee Street.
Yes. So, of course, if you were walking to Durham Cathedral straight from Penshaw Monument, you wouldn't go up that way. You wouldn't, you know, essentially backtrack.
Yeah.
But obviously, we're following a route here, so we had to go through the Great Lumley Burn, which was just probably... I'll give it. I've seen some nice things in the northeast, but that'll probably be the most beautiful walk. I think between, you know, starting the Great Lumley Burn and ending it, I think we saw a whopping total of zero people.
Yeah, it was nice because we could actually properly forest bathe.
Yeah,
you know that kind of sense of like, I don't know if it's because there's more trees around, but it just felt like you could breathe properly. And
yeah,
luckily we took our antihistamine.
Very true.
Yeah, but for me, like, the little things I enjoyed from the day was there's things that I feel like being in Sunderland and being living the lives we do.
Mm-hmm.
When we're checking in and talking about things, it seems to always be the same sort of limited amount of topics and whatever, and we don't actually get into like how, you know, in the limited amount of time we get, especially like in the last few months because of work, we've seen Jake less and less.
Yeah.
And I think for me, it was, I love our walks because I don't have to think.
Yeah,
I can just sort of switch off and I feel more myself. Mm-hmm. If that makes sense. And yeah, it was like the little things I took away was like when we were that first stretch of the Lumley Burn, like where you come in and it's, you know, first, and I pointed out first, like, oh, like it's bluebell season, like bluebells are my favourite wild flowers, well, them, I mean, and morning glories.
Yeah,
but it was when we came out and it was all the colour, and I just saw this like almost like childish sense of wonder on like you and Jake.
Right.
And I had it as well, like, don't get me wrong, but I was like, these are like the nice little bits of the walk that we tend to gloss over.
Yeah.
To be like, you know, to get bogged down in the stats of it all.
Yeah.
But it was just like spot on. And I think, like, considering we were following a route guide that was written in
2020 it was when it was updated.
Yeah.
Did a little bit of looking, it was updated in 2020.
But it was hard to, it was sort of, it wasn't always the easiest to follow.
No, it had moments where you felt like it was like, oh, okay, he's explained it quite well. And then it was other points where it was just like, turn left, and you're looking at like three options to turn left.
And it'll be stuff like, you'll come out by this pub, but the pub's been knocked down and there's flats there.
Yeah.
And it's like, so you go, like, we had to Google a couple of times like where things were to be like, are we in the right place? And then it's like, let's, for argument's sake, call it the Durham Arms.
Yeah.
It's like permanently closed. Right? Oh, okay, so that's just being levelled then.
Yeah.
So you're standing like on, like, you're past the rubble of what used to be a pub.
Yeah, there was a couple of times where certainly we would have to look at the map and then like pass it between us and go like, right, no, hang on. And then get the phone map out and go X, Y, and Z. But kind of to go back to the point about, you said about when you walk and you don't have to worry about anything. Like, you'll know better than anyone, and I don't really know why it kind of glossed over my mind during the backpack checking, but you'll know that I've had quite an unfortunate month when it comes to money this month.
Yeah.
And, you know, on that walk, that's when I was finding out, you know, when I got paid. And I think it was just before we'd gone into the Lumley Burn, I found out how much I got paid, and I was like, oh, for flip's sake, like, not, it's not happening this month, like, it wasn't the greatest pay on planet Earth, and I was, you know, had a lot of bills to pay this month. And thankfully, you know, just being able to go from that to Lumley Burn to then coming out the other side, I was kind of just like, nothing I can do about it. Like, I didn't worry about it. And it was a great peace to the mind.
Yeah. I think just being out of your normal environment can help.
Yeah.
And, you know, being with two of your best mates as well.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, there's no one else I'd have wanted to do that walk with.
Yeah. Well, no, like, we started it together. We have to finish it together.
Yeah, definitely.
And we did.
Yeah. But, I mean, like, so we're not even halfway through the whole route, but let's have a little break.
Yes.
This is Mint Car by The Cure, and we'll come back and tell you all about the rest of our adventure. Mm-hmm.
You're listening to The Toolbox here on Spark. My name is Hamish Smith and I'm joined with your favourite folk devil, Rolly Joe Kearney.
Yeah, boy.
A little intro there for you. Anyway, we've been having a little yap session about our walk from the lovely Penshaw Monument to Durham Cathedral. We've currently, in the story, just arrived at Chester Lee Street. And we're having our sandwiches.
Yeah, we got into the outskirts of Chez, and
you met two fellow Scousers.
Yeah, so we passed by a golf course right by Lumley Castle, and we speaking to these two ladies. They were out like on the bit where the bridge used to be. So the foundations of the old bridge are still there before the other bridge, like you see it right next to it.
Right.
We were just chatting, like, oh, you have a nice day and stuff. And I was like, I just picked up on the accent straight. I was like, oh, where are you ladies from? And they were like, oh, we're from Liverpool. And I was like, oh, no way.
Me too.
I was like, L17. And they were like, L37, L4. I was like, Queens. I think that's the only weird thing that really happened.
Yeah.
Like,
bumping into two.
Yeah. And I'd say, like, that's my only disappointment from the walk. I think, like...
What, bumping into two Scousers?
No, that's not what I mean. I'm not allowed back now, am I? But, no, I mean, like, you have this idea of the country and it being full of these, like, you know, wonderful, willful English eccentrics who, you know, will be lovably and harmlessly weird.
Yeah.
And we didn't come across any of that.
No, like... It's true, we didn't come across any sort of characters. I remember when we did our first walk, the one to South Shields, just along the coast. I remember we bumped into this like Dave the Rave imposter.
Yeah.
Mind of some guy, and he had claimed that he had the Dave the Rave nickname before, of course, Dave Common came along and took it off of him.
That's, if anything, that's fighting words.
Yeah, I think we've got Dave versus Dave on our hands. But anyway, yeah, you're right. We didn't bump into any sort of characters. But I think in a way we almost brought the character with us, because with Jake we obviously dragged him into Chester Lee Street, and we had our lunch. It was very nice.
Yeah.
And then we kind of made a bit of a discovery, didn't we?
We did.
That the route that we were on took us in a bit of a loop. Now, obviously, it is a pilgrim walk, so the pilgrims would have went to church.
So it's following places of religious significance. So I believe it's called St. Michael's Church.
Yeah.
Has what's called the Anchorage.
Mm-hmm.
But it's what, A-N-K-E-R-A-G-E. And basically, it was... between the years 1353 and I believe it was like 1650-something, 1685 or something, they had like a series of these hermitages. And basically, like, a religious hermit would just lock themselves in somewhere or be in a cave or whatever. And all they'd do is they'd go to, like, church, or they'd go and have a service, pray, and just, like, you know, all day just pray. And then... the one in there that survives, it's the only one left in this country.
Oh, wow.
And there was a small slot where someone could pass food through.
Mm-hmm. And that was it.
And there was a slot where they could see the altar. And yeah, like you say, that was it.
Yeah.
Their life was just a life of quiet devotion to, you know, God. But
yeah. So the route obviously took us into Chester Lee Street for that, but what we didn't realise is that the route also looped round, so we potentially walked an extra 45 minutes to an hour, shall we say?
Yeah, I'd say that.
More than we needed to, and if pressing the bus button didn't infuriate Jake, I think that was probably his final straw.
Yeah, the thing I'd say is, right, with that, is if we were just doing it one stage at a time,
yeah,
it wouldn't have mattered.
No, exactly.
But because we were doing three stages in one day.
We noticed it.
Yeah, like the legs definitely noticed it a bit more.
Mm-hmm.
And then we went back over to the side of the river where we met the two scouse ladies.
Yeah.
And then continued along that side of the river.
As we've said, it wasn't your fault. It was the route that we have set out to follow. Like, it's nobody's fault. Okay, yeah. I think in that moment, if we had all read ahead, we would have, in agreement, gone, okay, we don't need to walk into to Chester Lee Street. We'll just have our lunch here and get back on the
same
route.
At the same time, though, in terms of the spirit of the walk and following the walk,
yeah,
I also think a part of us, though, would have... I think definitely me and you would have felt like we were cheating it by not doing that part.
Yeah, no, and definitely, 100%, I would have been sat here now feeling a little bit cheated. But I think at the time, I would have been a little bit different.
Yeah.
I think, considering because we'd also had in our minds the quiet goal of we need to get Jake to Durham before the Leeds game.
Yeah, this was the other thing. So it was it find out whether or not they won the league or something?
It was if they had won the league. So it was they'll finish first place.
Yeah, and we'll talk more about that the later we get into it.
Yeah.
But the next leg then was from Chester the Street straight through to Durham.
To the Priory, was it not?
That's part of the section.
Oh, right, I thought it was...
But then the, like, notable sort of part of that was Finchel Priory.
Yeah.
Finchel Priory, beautiful to come down to.
Absolutely stunning.
But at the same time, we found that we learnt... So at this point, we'd walked about 25k?
About this point, yeah.
Yeah, and we're coming down onto Finchel Priory. So it was, I think, in terms of navigating the instructions, it was the hardest part.
But again, yeah, I'd say so as well. Like, that field from Great Lumley.
Yeah, and then it was like, you come to a T-junction, turn left, and then it was like, well, this can't be the T-junction because we're in a field.
Yeah.
But we just sort of, we went the right way.
With the lay-by and stuff.
Yeah. And then it was like we came to a lay-by, but it wasn't the lay-by.
Yeah.
And then it was, oh, wait, no, hang on. So we just carried on the road. We were like, oh, we'll just said it will go.
And then we got to the T-junction.
And then we actually found the T-junction. And it's, this is what I'll say about the guy who did it. I think that he needs to go to a class on units of measurement.
Yeah,
because he'd be like 400 meters up the road. It was like 3/4 of a mile to a mile.
Yeah,
mostly uphill.
Yeah.
And then you come to these steps that take you down, and that's fine, you know, obviously downhill is a nice little break because you're not, you know, digging in to go up. But we found we've been walking that long, it was actually harder to go down, like, down the steps than it was to go up there, like, up a hill.
I think it was different for you guys wearing boots as well, so I'd worn trainers. But certainly going down, you could just feel the weight of your shoes.
Yeah.
And it was just, I struggled going down because I was quite far.
Yeah.
Far behind going down the hill.
Jake wore a steel-toed.
We didn't even mention the steel toe cap work boots.
We prepared so well for this walk.
We prepared so well, and Mr. Chappell just appeared.
Yeah.
With his steel toe cap boots. He didn't even take his pink cup that he got him.
Yeah, we'll decorate it for him and give it to him next time we see him.
We'll give him, since Leeds got first, we'll give him his own Leeds cup.
Yeah, so we come into Finchel Priory just as... It was just as cold now. It was kicking in.
Mm-hmm.
The sun was starting to come down. It was like all bathed in like beautiful golden light.
Yeah.
But obviously it was that late in the day. The ruins were closed. But
we were on about, what, 6 o'clock by this point, weren't we?
Yeah, we were around there. And then what happened was we decided to have a sit down and, you know, have a can.
Yeah.
Because, that's the thing. Like, we were in Great Lumley. Mm-hmm. And I think it was another one of your good ideas, actually, why don't I get us a 4-pack?
Yeah, Great Lumley, yeah.
And it was, what do you want? Like, whichever coldest. and then we sat at Finchel and, you know, had a quick can and had a little rest. And then
Jake getting cheeky with the running group.
Yeah, so we came across this running group who were parked up at in between HMP Franklin and...
Well, it was before that. They had actually run past us.
No, I know, but I'm saying, like, they were parked up by the prison. So they were by HMP Franklin and HMP Low Newton. There's a car park sort of in between where running groups and different people meet. But the weird thing was they were just dad like condescending and like catty, like some of them were dad sound and some of them were like, you know, just absolutely, like, you know, when you're just like, if this was anything other than how tired we are linguistically, this would be bad and harsh.
I think it was because like when they were running up the hill, like I was ahead of yous, and I just heard like Jake yelling like, come on, come on. So I turn around and like, sure enough, I see the running group and I see him clapping, and like in my head I was just like, oh my god, they just see this like kid in his trackies, beer in hand, sweating, just yelling. And then like there was a couple comments made there, I was just like, okay, yeah, like that, this is you guys are a little bit.
The thing is though, and I'll say this, Jake was genuinely being supportive.
Like
he wasn't taking the mickey. He was just like, keep going. But it was like, you know, whenever like you come across like, say you walk into like the bus stop or something, and you like forget like, you know, the local 10K's on or the local half marathon or whatever's on.
Yeah.
Like as they're running past you, be like, yeah, keep going, come on, you're doing really well. And I think like that's what he was doing. Wasn't like any sort of like
malicious intent, like being cheeky or
skullduggery.
But then we got to the car park, we bumped into them again, and like we almost got a chance to like, because the vibe I kind of got was that they just thought we were three guys who had walked from like Great Lumley, had a couple beers, were just like, you know, making a mess of it. And that wasn't the case. We almost got a chance to, you know, explain to them, to be like, oh no, we've walked from Penshaw Monument, like we've been out all day, we're absolutely dying. And they just brushed it off completely. They were just like, oh well, you've still got 3 miles to Durham to go, like we've just ran to Durham. And it's like, mint.
And it's like, good for you.
Yeah, like you've done this.
You also drove here in a car. So I turned around to them and I was just like being a little bit cheeky, like, I told you we'd catch you up.
It was when one of them was cycling away on the bike, and I think it was yourself. You just called out in a slightly louder tone, "God, who cycles to our running group?"
Yeah, like forget, like just all right, show off. Like it's like the type of person who they'll get up early on a Sunday morning, like to get the sunlight, like at the top of them, like the sunrise at the top of a mountain, with some sort of pithy hashtag, like hashtag the only height I need. And you're like, you know what? Go away. I do not care for you.
If that makes you happy to post that on social media, then you do you. Don't listen to Rolly.
But if you do that, you're a terrible person.
But if you're gonna rub it in, well, we're on our walk and you're on your run, then be prepared for some toolbox slander.
Oh, I'm sorry. Did you cycle to this run? I've been sat down at work all day. Did you?
Okay. That is enough of the running group. As you can tell, they got us a little bit riled.
Yeah.
So, are we now? We're in the car park, aren't we?
Yeah. And, we're at the car park between the prisons. And it's our last sort of drive towards Durham Cathedral.
It's the last uphill before we're all, you know, kind of back down into.
So it levels out at the car park.
Yeah.
And like, oh, the walk from Finchel Priory to the prisons was all uphill and all quite steep.
We'll also add, by this point, Jake had a radio and was listening to the Leeds game.
Yeah. The only way I can describe it is because we could tell the type of mood Jake was in. It was like the Yorkshire version, like the adult Yorkshire version of, you know, when you go to the supermarket and you see like quite an exasperated looking mum pushing a toddler in a pram.
Yeah.
But the toddler's watching Bluey on the iPad.
Yeah.
That was like the Yorkshire version of that. He had the game on and we were at the, like, to be right, Jake was an absolute trooper.
Yeah, yeah. Like, I feel like we've slagged them off.
We have rinsed them a bit, but it's because it's funny. Yeah. The thing I'll say is, like, I am so incredibly proud of that guy for the effort he put in.
Yeah, with the situation he was in as well with his boots.
Oh, yeah, his blisters were bad, man.
I've never tried to convince somebody to buy plasters more in my life.
Yeah, and like we passed enough shops where he could have.
And he just refused.
There was a beautiful stubbornness to it, which often we don't praise on this show. Yeah. But yeah, and then after the car parks, it was basically one path all downhill.
Yeah.
And that was quite, it was a different challenge. I thought I felt it in my legs a lot more at that point.
I think we were all starting to really feel a bit pooped.
Yeah, and the lights started to go in. But luckily, by the time it got dark, that was when we got up to just past Crook Hall.
Aye.
And then that's where like the Radisson Blue is by the riverside in Durham.
Mm-hmm.
And we then hit all the streetlights. So in terms of timing it, we couldn't have timed it better.
Yeah.
And then we had a little just sit down on a bench by the river looking up at our final destination.
It was nice. And just a little 5 minute, you know, rest.
You know what, right though, I'll say this. Like, I think the last two and a half, 3 miles was for all three of us pure grit and determination.
Yeah.
Because it was like, we've had this lovely day and we were still enjoying the walk. We were still enjoying the chat. Like, the chat didn't dry up all day.
No.
Because there were times where we were quiet, but it was because we were taking it all in.
Aye.
And then, you know, it was a proper laugh. It was everything.
Yeah, no, I literally had, I'd say, every emotion. You know, we were getting, you know, good laughs. We were getting good smiles. But we were also, you know, having a laugh out of, you know, moments where you'd read the map and you'd be like, no, Rolly, it's actually this. Or like, yeah, you know, Hamish, actually, and we're going this way, like, God's sake.
Yeah.
You know, we had an adventure, like it is, literally.
And it was the open-minded spirit of adventure as well. Like, we didn't know what we were going to come across. We didn't, all right, we Googled the route map, but we didn't Google anything along the way. And I was familiar with some places because I'll get the bus to Durham to see my nan.
Yeah.
But like, so like where we started sort of like two for us,
mm-hmm,
from Horton through to Chester the Street.
Yeah.
Like I knew where that was because I pass it on the bus all the time, mm-hmm, you know. And
aye,
it was just really cool. Like the when we got up to Great Lumley and there was that big like wooden bench art installation thing.
Yeah.
And you looked through the sort of statue on the back of it and it just framed like the view back to Chester the Street. And you're like, this is stunning.
I know.
And it's what we said the first time, especially like similarly to when we came up over Cleedon Mill.
Mm-hmm.
This part of the world doesn't get enough credit for how beautiful it is.
No, it doesn't. The Northeast certainly does get brushed under the rug.
And it's a popular, and you know what, right, in terms of some walking routes, you know, it's the end of the coast-to-coast path.
Yeah.
You know, so from, say, like, Barrow to Durham, Sunderland. And, you know, like, the Pennines run through the northeast.
Yeah.
You know, the Cheviot Hills is the highest point in Northumbria.
Aye.
That's basically, like, the sort of end of the Pennines. Mm. But it's, like, a nice big sort of, you know, nice walk today.
Well, you know what? 35.79K... 44,578, 8 hours and 22 minutes and 34 seconds later, we finally made it into Durham.
That's crazy.
It was a journey. Now, I never read this, but Strava did me a little, like, they've called it their athlete intelligence, and they described the walk as an epic long-distance walk with significant elevation, crushing nearly 45,000 steps and exploring terrain for over 8 hours.
Yeah.
That sums it up.
But the adventure didn't stop there.
No, it did not.
Because I would say, the bus back.
The worst bus home ever.
I'm not saying I told you so, but the only point where I got frustrated all day was I was like, I told you we should have got the 20.
I didn't know. I was like,
Jake just was like, that bus says Sunderland, I'm getting on it. I'm like, I guess we're getting on the 22. Yeah.
And
the 22 that goes through Shotton and Peterlee, and you're like, no, thank you.
It took what, about 40 minutes to an hour to get back, didn't it?
It took about half an hour longer than it should have, because the bus driver stopping during the depot, being like, it was this cockney bus driver. he was good crack, like, because he let us on for like the child fare, basically. Yeah. But he was like, yeah, mate, like, I can't use the ticket machine, like, it's not working. But he pulled over in this labour, like, in this, like, sort of,
it was a bus stop,
yeah. And I was sat there, and like, because I know Durham quite well, because I've been going there every year since I was, you know, born. No. So we just look across and be like, oh, my auntie's mate Teresa lives over there. Like, but the amount of time that we were at the bus stop, we could have gone to Teresa's, had a cup of tea and come back. The bus still would have been there.
I think it would have been worth just waiting out. But you know what, like, it was worth it.
It was just a proper day out.
Yeah, and then a nice dinner when we got in.
Oh, yeah.
What did you have again? Was it a margarita?
Yeah, deep dish margarita.
Nice. I think I had myself some chicken korma and chips or something.
Yeah, and then I put on the Deafest style. And you were like, is this a documentary? I'm like, no.
No.
Jason Isaacs' General Zukov is like the best thing in the world.
I was going to say, I think the first thing you said to me was like, oh, try to explain this film to an American.
Yeah, like there's some films like The Death of Stalin and Four Lions that when you explain it to an American, they'll be like, oh man, why would I want to watch that, especially Four Lions? Yeah, a comedy about an inept British terrorist hour. Like, oh man, that can't be funny. Like, no, it's the funniest film ever made. Yeah.
Anyway, shall we go for a quick tune and then wrap it up?
Yeah, I think we'd best had.
Let's do it.
Ruby by the Kaiser Chiefs here on Spark. I'm your favourite folk devil, Rolly Joe Garney, and you're listening to The Tourbox. As always, throughout this show, like every show, I've been joined by my sweet cheese, Hamish Smith.
Yay. Of course, we've been discussing our walk from Penshaw Monument to Durham Cathedral, but it's at that point in the show which we like to call the curtain closers around here, which means we're in the injury time, the final few minutes.
The last little home stretch.
Yes.
We are thinking about what walk we can do next, yes, so we'll bring you the latest travelogue as soon as we have it.
Definitely. But just to recap, we did 35.79k, we did 44,578 steps, and it took us 8 hours and 22 minutes. We were out all day.
Good golly, Miss Molly.
And we certainly did a lot. We worked very hard.
Hamish, unfortunately.
Oh.
It's that time. Just because the conversation stops doesn't mean the conversation stops. If you urgently need to speak to somebody, the number for Samaritans is 116 123. That's 116 123.
We have two Andy's Man Clubs here in Sunderland. We have one located at the Kale Road Library and one located over at the Beacon of Light. Both are fantastic groups and they kick off at 7 o'clock every Monday except for bank holidays. Get along. We absolutely love Andy's Man Clubs here on the show. Very, very great group of guys.
They have also announced two more meetings that are going to be starting in Houghton-le-Spring and Gosforth as well. So if you're a little bit further afield, look out. Also, if you're listening on the podcast, then search Andy's Man Club and you can find your nearest group on their website.
Yes.
If peer-to-peer support isn't your bag or you don't feel like you quite need that, then here at Spark, we do have our very own call-in show, The Bedtime Babylon. Now, Kai and Hayden have been doing this show for years and they're a great set of lads. They're really funny, and you don't even need to ring them about anything serious.
Yeah.
You can just ring them about what you're having for your tea, and you can probably get a good laugh out of it.
You're a bit of a fiend when it comes to phoning up.
It's because stuff just happens to me, and it tends to be on a Thursday, so I'm like, oh, I'll tell the boys.
I know, being friends with Kai and Hayden, it's your direct route to telling them.
Yeah, it's just like...
Can't just...
hello, boys. It's me again.
You may not be able to burst into the studio, but you can burst into the phone lines.
Yeah, definitely.
So definitely phone up Bedtime Babylon here on Spark. There are...
Every Thursday from 9 till 11.
Yes, they're an absolute hoot and a half. But yeah, Rolly, that is it.
It's the end of our odyssey from Penshaw to Durham Cathedral.
I feel like now that we're talking about it on the show, that is it now. Done. It's put
yeah,
to bed.
We can look forward to the next one.
Yes, that's right.
And the podcast is out every Tuesday. Yes. Or you can listen back on the new Bright Shining Spark app,
yes,
which is available on the Android store and the iTunes store.
Yes, that's right. And of course, one last thing, follow us on the Toolbox at the Toolbox Radio.
See you next week.
See you next week.
I'm a man, and it's okay to feel overwhelmed.
I'm a man, and it's okay to cry.
I'm a man, and it's okay to ask for help.
I'm a man, and I don't need to be perfect.
This has been The Toolbox.
Thanks for listening.
We'll see you next week at 10 p.m.